We've been going through on Wednesday nights the book of 1 Peter, and we'll be spending our time tonight in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you turn with me there. There's a lot of new faces here from our series, and I just want to tell you that 1 Peter is an excellent book for us as believers to understand what we are as believers, why we're here as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what our tasks are, and the things that we're going to encounter along the road. In particular, a couple weeks ago, we talked about 1 Peter chapter 2, and we saw that we have two basic identities in Jesus Christ, and one is that we are the temple of God, and as people encounter the temple of God, they encounter the living God himself. And as the temple of God, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices acceptable to God. And the other identity that we have is the people of God. And as the people of God, we are called to declare the excellencies of Jesus Christ to this world that is in darkness. We saw last week, and we went through a difficult passage, but we looked at how, as you live in submission to authority, and as you live lives that are in accordance with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the world begins to see a difference in you, that you're unique, that you're different because of the gospel of Jesus Christ working in your life. This week, as we look at our text tonight, we see that sometimes that not everybody who sees our lives is excited about our lives of righteousness. Sometimes we encounter ridicule, difficulties. Sometimes even people want to hurt us as a result of living righteous lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter encourages us to carry on. The second thing that we're going to learn from our text, the second major thing, is that there's going to be times as a result of the way we live that people are going to ask us questions about why we live that way, why we're different. And that's going to give us an opportunity and a platform to tell others about the hope that is within us because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please read with me in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He had just ended this discussion on submission. And then he says to all of us, he says, "To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their fear, and do not be troubled, but set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a reply to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. This is the word of the Lord. Our text tonight begins with a call for us to live righteous lives as we look at verse 8. All of us are called to be harmonious. That is, we are to seek and to pursue peace with one another. We are called to be sympathetic. That is, we are called to seek to be understanding of others and their needs and their difficulties and what they're thinking and what they're struggling with. We are all called to love our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And we are all called to be kind and humble in all that we say, all that we think, and all that we do. We are called as Christians to live righteous lives. We are called to be unique, to be different, to be holy in this perverse world. This brings glory to God. But Peter, he ratchets up this call even more in verse 9. You see, there are going to be times when people will mistreat us, or people will say nasty things to us because of our faith, because we live righteous and different lives. Nobody likes to be insulted. It goes against our very pride. It goes against our honor and even our value. Our immediate reaction when others insult us is to come back with a more degrading insult, a more harmful insult. But God calls us to be different. He calls on us to return insults with blessings, with prayers for those who insult us. And likewise, when people do harm to us, instead of reacting with revenge and retaliation, we are to return evil with good deeds. We do this because this is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us who were enemies of Christ. Jesus was the one who was least deserving of insult and ridicule. But still, as he went to the cross, he endured it with patience, with love, and above all, with silence with his mouth. But with his actions, he spoke most boldly as he went to the cross to save us from our sins. Look back with me at 1 Peter chapter 2. We read this last week. In verse 21, we see that Jesus suffered for us in order to bring us to God. And he's our example. He's the one we're to follow as we suffer, as we're insulted, in order that we bring those who insult us to God. Look at verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. He who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him that is God who judges righteously. See, God honors and blesses us as we are obedient to him in lives of righteousness. And the world, as they see that we live differently, that we respond differently, that we react differently to insults, to pain, to difficulty, they begin to see God, and they begin to be drawn to God. In verses 14 through 16, we come to some very instructive verses for us as believers in Jesus Christ. When we live lives which are different from the world, people begin to see and they begin to ask, why are you different? Why do you live like that? Why do you not indulge in the same things that we indulge in? And this gives us an opportunity, a platform, to share with them the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple weeks ago, I talked about declaring the excellencies of Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel with this world. But here in these verses, we find some more details in how we are to do that. In verses 14 through 16, I see six crucial points to keep in mind as we seek to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I encourage you to look with me at them. The first one is from verse 14, and it is to fear Christ alone. Fear Christ alone. Look with me at verse 14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. This is chapter 3. And do not fear their fear, and do not be troubled. Our tendency is to be worried about what other people will think about us as Christians. In fact, many of you might even tighten up and get nervous when you're told to share your faith with others. But do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for all. Fear Christ alone and do not fear man or woman. Second, from verse 15, sanctify or set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. The Lord is asking that you place Him in that special place in your heart. He is asking you to regard Him as unique, as different, and holy from the other things that crowd into your heart, the things that you love and desire and care for. He is calling on you to love Him as you love no one else. He is calling on you to allow Him to have preeminence, to have dominance in your heart. He is calling on you to place Him on the throne of your heart, that He might be in control of all that you say, all that you think, and all that you do. He is calling on you to set aside those things which compete with the Lord Jesus Christ for your attention, for your obedience, and for your worship. Set Christ in His proper place in your life, in your heart. Let nothing else take His place. Third, verse 15 continues. It says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a reply. The Lord is asking you to be ready, to be prepared, to tell others about your faith at a moment's notice. Are you prepared to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you might get scared when you're told that you need to tell others about Jesus Christ. And I know it brings up a lot of fear in a lot of people, but in this next point, we see that this reply is extremely personal. You don't have to be worried about what you're going to say. You don't have to know all the arguments about what you need to say. Look at verse 15. Continue on with me in verse 15. We are called to be ready to make a reply to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. In chapter 1, verse 3, Peter told us that if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. We above all others have reason to hope in this hopeless world. We are to share what Jesus Christ has done for us. We are to share what Jesus Christ has done in us. We are to declare what Jesus Christ is doing to us. Our sins have been forgiven. Our souls have been set free. He is changing and molding us. We have been given peace which surpasses all comprehension, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, and we have hope in the wonder-working power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My brothers, share with others the hope, even the glimmers of hope that you have that are in you because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which transforms your life. The next thing we learn is that we're to do this with gentleness and reverence. The verse 15 and 16 says, "Always be ready to make a reply to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Sometimes in our zeal to share this great hope that is within us, we can get a bit obnoxious. You've all seen it, and some of you have done it. I know I've been obnoxious at times. We get in people's faces and make them uncomfortable and try to force others to believe what we believe. That type of sharing the faith is from the flesh and not led by the Spirit of God. The Lord is calling us to be gentle, to be understanding, to be considerate, and to be humble. Don't lose your zeal as you share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, but be obedient to the Lord. He is calling on you to be gentle and loving in your approach. Let the Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit do the work on the hearts of those you are sharing with, and listen to the Holy Spirit as you share that hope that is within you. And the last point is that you must be diligent to let your lifestyle be consistent with your testimony. Look at verse 16. "And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." Our conduct is kind of a double-edged sword. When we live lives which are characterized by righteousness, we bring attention not so much to ourselves as to our great God. We're never going to be perfect in this world. We all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. But our lives should be characterized as believers in Jesus Christ by righteous living, as ones who have been made new creatures by the work of Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, if our lives are characterized by unrighteousness and by sin, if the world looks at us and sees sinfulness and unrighteousness, the world is turned off to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So live a life that keeps with a good conscience, a life which lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you do this, the world will take note and begin to ask you about your faith, and you will have a platform, a podium, even a pulpit like this one, in which to declare the excellencies of the Lord Jesus Christ and the living hope that is in you because of the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ in your life. Don't pass up the opportunity that you have to share the Lord Jesus Christ with your family, with your friends, and with all you come in contact with. This is the word that I have tonight. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would do your desire with this word, Lord, in the hearts of the men who are here. I pray that if there are men who do not know you, Lord, that they would entrust themselves to you because you are a great God, a loving God, a forgiving God, a transforming God. And to trust in any other thing, in any other person, Lord, is worthless and a waste, Lord. But to trust in you, to fear you, to live for you, is to have life. Lord, we pray that those of us who have clung to you, who are clinging to you, Lord, that we would hear these words and that we would make you known throughout all the world, Lord. For all the people that we encounter, Lord, I pray that we would have boldness yet gentleness and reverence as we declare you to them, Lord. Lord, speak to us and let this word be planted into our hearts, Lord, that you might be made great. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.